chapter 17. Give you a second to get there, John 17. But anyway, along those lines, been a privilege and an honor to be your pastor, pastor of the church here at Valley View. And just bear with me. I'm getting better at it as the days go by, hopefully. Hopefully I'm better today. Somebody told me once that I was better than I was when I first started at being a pastor. So I guess that's...
Hey, I forgot to mention something. Sorry. We all know who the better half is, right? We all love Sherry. Sherry's been there with me faithfully. For 22 years, we'll work as hard as part of this church.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Hey, amen. I think... Amen. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I guess right now I'm the best one any of you got because I'm the only one you got one choice, right? Move on or, you know, stay with it. Amen. Okay, John chapter 17, verse 1. The Bible says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again today, and do thank you for the years to be able to serve here, and just the people here. I thank you for them. Lord, I pray that we can encourage one another. Lord, help one another in our Christian walk each day, Lord, and just help us to be faithful to you, Lord, all the way around. Lord, help us to be faithful to you, your word, your mission, Lord, just to tell others all the great things you've done for us. And we'll thank you in advance for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, the title of the message is, What Kind of Life? What Kind of Life? John 17, and I've shared this with you before. John 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer. This is actually the Lord praying. I know we use the familiar outline when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, you know, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, here's an outline for you, our Father who art in heaven. That was a rough outline. But this is actually, John 17 is the Lord actually praying to God the Father for himself, and also for us, for believers. And I didn't read the whole thing, but you know, the letter, if you got a red letter edition, you see it goes all the way through the rest of the chapter, you know, his prayer. And I might comment on a couple of the other verses, but just wanted to use those first three in the thought around this message. You know, if you want to know what God is like, somebody, Brian was sharing with us in Sunday school, shared with us at home about somebody he'd been witnessing to. And, you know, the guy said, well, you know, what's God like? What's God like? Well, God, if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus Christ. That he's God in the flesh. That's how you find out what God is like. You know, he was and is God's revelation of himself. He's God's revelation of himself to the world. Now, I know he's not walking on the earth as in a human form as he did in those days, but we have the word, the written word, and the witness account of that. So we find out about how God is like, what he's like through Jesus Christ. If you want to know Jesus Christ, then of course you look in the Word of God. The revelation of his life, his character, his conduct is in the Word of God. And if you want to see into the heart of God, then you read this prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. That will show you the heart of God. There are seven petitions that Jesus made, and as I said, I didn't read the whole prayer, but there's seven petitions. One that Jesus himself may be glorified as the Son who glorified the Father. He asked for restoration to the eternal glory that he once had before he came to the earth in human form. He asked for the safety of believers from the world and from the evil one. Boy, it's good to know that Jesus is praying for me, you know, and you as well. He asked for the sanctification of believers. Sanctification just means that process where we become more like Christ as we grow in the Lord. He asked for the spiritual unity of believers. We certainly need that prayer today. He prayed that the world may believe, the rest of the world, the people that are lost. Then he prayed that believers may be with him in heaven to behold and share his glory. So there, you know, in that prayer, you know, so unlike most of our prayers, we see the prayer of Jesus himself, and it gives us an insight into the heart of Christ, who is God in the flesh. So it's into the heart of God. You know, when we think about this, I mean, you know, you get older, and when you're younger, and I think everybody has to have this, or else you just shrivel up and die. You know, how many of us had dreams? Those of us that are older, and younger people, you may have them now, and as older people, we still have them too, but they may be different. But how many of us had dreams of what, when we were younger, say in school, we had dreams of what we might accomplish or what we might become as, you know, when we get older? You know, I mean, I can remember being as early as in a third grade one time, running in from recess thinking, man, I wonder what I'm going to be in life. I'm just running in. I started, you know, going down the list. Who knows? I mean, you know, the whole world is before you. You know, what you might become in life. And then, so we think about it, but a lot of times, how many of us, those who are older now, we had those dreams and we look back and you know what? We didn't fulfill them. You know, it didn't happen. I didn't become a race car driver. I really wanted to drive. I worked for a man that drove in NASCAR against Lee Petty, Richard Petty's daddy and all that. Man, he was into it, boy. And I thought, man, I'd like to do that. He raced them and just, you know, the things didn't fall into place for that to take it. That didn't happen. Kind of a way out there dream, I guess. It didn't happen. But, you know, we realize now, hey, we didn't fulfill some of the dreams or maybe most of the dreams that we had. How many of us had a dream or a goal in life and something we were reaching for, and then we fulfilled that dream? Maybe you had a dream of something you wanted to become in life, something out there. You had that dream, you fulfilled it, but once you fulfilled that dream or once you reached that goal, you started thinking to yourself, you know, I could have aimed a little bit higher. Then I'm one of those. I could have aimed higher. I could have achieved more, you know, maybe gone farther in life. You know, I think a lot of people maybe, now some people might think, hey, this is it. There's a real small percentage of people in the world today that actually, you know, are totally satisfied with where they got in, you know, that they're doing their lifelong dream. There's just a small percentage of people. It's not that you don't like what you do. It's just, boy, when you start thinking of the options. I remember I went in the Navy. Man, I'm thinking, they gave you this big old book. I took it home of all the stuff you could get into. You know, and I'm thinking all that, and I said, hey, I'm going to be a welder, you know, and there's nothing wrong. If you're a welder, great, man. I mean, I like welding. I enjoyed welding. I ended up welding nuclear power piping. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. When I was in the welding field, a nuclear welder was the top of the shelf. You know, well, I got to that. You know, I got to it. Okay, welding, you know, changed the world. But, you know, I'm thinking, man, of all the other things, why didn't I go into communication? You know, I always wanted to, one of my dreams was I wanted to be on the radio. I am on the radio, but it's not in the same way I thought. When I was in high school, I had a low voice in high school. You need to be on the radio. When I went to my 10-year reunion, man, some of them came up, you're on the radio, aren't you, man? Tell us, you're on. I said, no, I'm not on the radio. I kind of have an interest in radio. Didn't get to that other than, I mean, we're on, you know, messages are on the radio. But, you know, why didn't I go into communication? Why didn't I pursue that? I'm looking back. I got all these choices. I'm going to go burn myself every day being a welder, you know, get burned every single day of my life when I was a welder. Why didn't I aim for something else that could have taken me farther I don't know, but didn't do that. But I want you to put your thinking caps on. I had a teacher when I was in high school. She used to always say this. All right, class, get your thinking caps on. Oh, no, we got to think. You know, I know this has worked for you, but what do you think is in God's heart concerning you? What do you think is in God's heart concerning you? What does God want for you as an individual? I'm not saying for the whole world, and I can give you the answer to that. And what does God want for you as an individual, really? What is in His heart for you? Think about that. What do you think, here's another question for you, keep your thinking cap on. What do you think the potential would be for you if God had all your life? If you said, God, here it is, this is it, I'm not holding back, I'm going to open the door to every room in my heart, I'm giving you everything, whatever you want me to do. whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm going to do it. No questions asked. What do you think the potential for your life would be if you did that? I believe, do you think it'd be a greater potential than we're achieving now in our life? Don't you think it might be a greater potential than that? What do you think the potential for this church, or for any church for that matter, what would be the potential for a church that every member, every person in the church gave everything, their whole life, their heart, their mind, their will, everything surrendered to God? What do you think the potential for that? For, you know, and it would be in the realm of God's will because we've given our life. Think about those things right there. I want to look at the life that God wants for us. The life that God wants for us. And the very first thing we see in life, we see eternal life in verse 3. He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now, there's a lot of people, when we think about eternal life, there's a lot of people that have misconceptions or misunderstandings about eternal life. You know, sometimes people think, well, eternal life is something that I'm going to have. You know, I get saved, and I'm going to have eternal life after I die. You know, so when I'll die, then I'll have eternal life, and I'll just live forever. No, actually, if you study the Bible very closely, you'll see that eternal life is a present possession for everybody that believes. We have eternal life. I have eternal life right now. My body will die the way it feels most of the time. Thank God for that, right? I mean, we're going to get a new one. We talked about that this morning, in Sunday school. Hey, but right now, if my soul, and I'm a body, a soul, and a spirit, everybody is a triune being. My soul and my spirit, as a matter of fact, I think we talked about this the other day in the kitchen. Your soul, and if you ever notice in your mind, what age are you in your mind? I mean, your body, I'm not talking about how you feel physically, but I'm talking about where your mind is. It's like an ageless thing. Your soul and spirit I can think like a 14-year-old just like I could when I was 14 years old. I mean, it's the same. You know, it doesn't mean I'm all excited about Santa Claus coming. I know he's not. I'm all excited about, you know, Christmas, all that. It's just the same. But our body is what gets old. And so that soul and spirit is eternal. It's going to be eternal one way or the other. But it's eternal death or eternal life. And so we have eternal life. We have it right now. But I want you to understand this, and as far as the Christian experience, a lot of people, all they have is eternal life. That's it. I mean, you know, because some people view eternal life as something after death, or like if I get saved, boy, I'm not going to hell. I've got eternal life. I'm not going to hell. And that's my Christianity. I got it. Okay, I got it tucked under here, you know, under my arm. I'm not going to hell. I'm saved. That's it. And they're just waiting for that great day when they die or the Lord comes back, and then they're going to be, you know, start reaping the benefits. But I want you to know that in the heart of God, that eternal life is more than something in the future. It's something that you have now. And it's something actually that you can enjoy, man, that present possession right now. And eternal life, it tells us in verse 3, actually eternal life is knowing God personally. That's what it says in verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." That they might know thee. Not just knowing about Jesus Christ or knowing about God, but a living, daily, personal relationship. Now, ask yourself this. Do I have a living, daily, personal relationship? And how do I know? A living, daily, personal relationship with Jesus Christ is a relationship that has influenced or influences our life, our character, and our conduct. You know, that knowing Jesus Christ influences our life, our character, and our conduct every day. Every day we're influenced by the gospel. There's a lot of people that claim that they're saved. There's a lot of people that even go to church, but their life is not influenced by what they hear or what they read in the Word of God. And that's not a daily personal relationship. You know, this is a question for you to ask yourself. Is my life being influenced every day? I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm just saying there's something changing. Something's, you know, there's things that your dreams, your direction, your demeanor is changed by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart. There's a change that's going to take place. So that's something that we look at, the kind of life. That is God's will that is in God's heart for your life. You know, when we think about physical life, I've heard people say this. When I was a little kid, of course, you don't know stuff then that you know now. And it says, you know, I used to say, man, I want to be 100 years old. I was watching a TV show the other day. These two old guys, they were racing in a race, a running race, the 90-meter dash. One guy was 100 years old, and the other guy was like above 95, somewhere in his upper 90s. And they had raced like the year before, and the 100-year-old guy, I guess he was 99 then, he edged out the guy right at the finish line. Of course, they're not, you know, it's in Usain Bolt by any stretch of the imagination, but they were getting there. And they were doing good. They ran every day. And then the next year, they had the rematch. And the 95-year-old, we'll just say he's 95-year-old guy, said, well, I got to be able to beat him because he's 100 years old, for crying out loud. He's got to be slowing down. And he did. He just did get ahead of him, and he got him at the end. The 100-year-old guy went out and got in a red Camaro, one of them new Camaros like you got, Teresa, got in a red one. He drove off. And the other guy went out there and got in an SUV, and he drove off. They're still driving their cars. I said, man, a lot. And a lot of people think this. Boy, I wouldn't mind living to be 100 years old if I could do that. I mean, man, you know, you can drive, you got your mind, all your marbles are still in there, most of them. And you know, a lot of people say that, you know, that they don't want to live, or you've heard people say this, I don't want to live if I don't have quality of life, you know, if it's some really, you know, bad thing. Well, let me ask you this. What about wanting to live if you don't have quality of spiritual life? How many people are living, they've got a spiritual life, but they're hooked up to life support? I mean, you know, you don't know if they got a pulse or not. They're barely breathing, barely living, you know, and the sad part is, and they're satisfied with that. They wouldn't be satisfied with it in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, it's okay to just be barely getting by, barely living. See, we got to think about it. This is in heart, it's in God's heart, that we have eternal life, but that we experience everything that comes along with eternal life, not just avoidance of hell and wait till we get to heaven to get all straightened out. No, he wants us to have a great life right now. A great life, a good life, an abundant life, that's my next point, but I think, and then I didn't give you the notes, did I, Eileen? And we got behind today. But, you know, that's what God wants you to have right there. You know, God offers us eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's more in God's heart for you than just avoiding hell. We are invited to live the life of Jesus. Actually, we are invited to allow Jesus Christ to live his life through us. Now that's the victorious Christian life right there. Because when we've been crucified with Christ, and Paul said, yet I live, but then he said, not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's how Paul did everything that he did. And that's how you can do everything that God wants you to do. And that's how you can enjoy the full life that God intended for you. So many people, man, are beat down in life. You know, they're just, oh, man, always defeated. And, man, you know, I'd like to say I got a real phobia about asking anybody how it's going. You know, because I don't have a half an hour to sit there and listen to how it's not going good. You know, I mean, we don't have to live a beat down. I'm not saying there's not going to be some bumps and trials and this and that and all that, but man, alive, you know, God wants us, that's not in God's heart for us. If you're going through a trial, I mean, God will put you through one to get you to another place. It's not to go farther down. He's lifting you up. He's lifting you up to another place. And so, you know, he wants us to have eternal life. And you know, what kind of life do you have? If we're invited to allow Jesus Christ to live through us, what kind of life did Jesus have? The second point, he had the abundant life. He had the abundant life. John 10:10 said, and this is Jesus saying, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now listen, that verse right there, he said that they might have life and have it more abundantly means right now. Not when you get to heaven. We're not going to have to worry about that then. It's right now. He said, I want you to have it. The abundant life is a life with a purpose. And that means this, that you just don't let life happen, but you make life happen. You know, most of us went through life, it just happened. We didn't make it happen, it just happened. Happened to us, and this is where we ended up. It was like, you know, floating downstream, you know, wherever you washed up on the shore, that's where you ended up being. You know, we were going down the stream of humanity, and that's where we ended up. You know, the so-called philosophers of the world are always asking, they ask, well, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? Well, you know, Wednesday night class, you all know what the purpose in life is for us, right? It's to glorify God, right? Am I right? Glorify God. That's our purpose. Listen to me. Anything less might be some great things, some good things, but I'll tell you what, you'll never feel like you're living the abundant life. You'll never feel like you're living a fulfilled life until you learn that you're put on this planet to glorify God. That's our sole purpose. That's what we were created for, to glorify God. And, you know, we think about people are striving. They don't have time for God because they want to, you know, get all they can get. Listen, billionaires are in a category of some of the unhappiest people on all the planet. And there's nothing wrong with being a billionaire, but if that's where your joy is, you know, is the problem. And actually, they're in a high-risk group for suicide. Can you imagine that? Billions and billions, you know, you got billions and billions of dollars, yet you're in a high-risk group for suicide. Why? Because they found out it wasn't, they thought that was going to be fulfillment. They thought that was going to be define their purpose in life, and it does not do it because the empty hole is still going to be there because you're not glorifying God. That's the purpose that God put you on it. And you think, well, man, that sounds like work. No, it's not. It's the abundant life. It's the glorifying God is going to give you joy that you cannot explain. It's going to give you joy that the world cannot explain. It's going to give you inner peace. It's going to give you fulfillment in life, glorifying God for whatever purpose he has in your life. You know, why do you think, say, most people are unhappy in the world? Because that purpose, not doing what God designed them to do in the first place. How many of you ever kind of rig something up at the house? You know, something's not working right, and you kind of get some kind of Rube Goldberg-looking apparatus to try to make it work right, and it'll work, but it never works good. Anybody got anything going on at the house like that? You got some kind of poked up, held up? You know, I saw a house one time, and thing was kind of caving in on one side, and they were running out of cinder blocks and all to put it. Had a refrigerator stuffed up under the corner of the house. A refrigerator was it was on a high, it was down there near Marion. When you get off at Marion, where Route 16 is, it was, you know how people did in the old days, they get land cheap. The land was straight up like this, so they put the house on the side. So this end of the house is sitting on the ground, and this end of the house had cinder blocks stacked up over my head to walk under the end of the house. And they ran, and it was sagging, so they had an old refrigerator, they stuck it up under the corner of the house. Well, you know, it did the job for a little while, but I'm going to tell you, that house is not standing today. The old refrigerator finally gave in. The whole thing slid down the side of the mountain. So it wasn't created to do that. It works, but it doesn't work good. You are not created to do, you know, we do other things, but our main purpose, the main thing we're created for is to glorify God. The abundant life is the full life. I said a second ago, full of joy, full of love, full of purpose. Even Christians, people that are saved, don't always enjoy the abundant life because of those reservations that they have. Self-absorbed, life revolving around our little petty plans that we have a lot of times. No thought for God's heart. See, back to that question, you know, there's a lot of people, and maybe you, have never asked yourself, what is in God's heart concerning me? What's in God's heart about me? What is God thinking about me? Maybe you only thought it was something bad. No, it's good. It's something good. No thought for God's purpose or no thought for God's plans. Locked themselves in their monistic life behind the closed doors of their careers, their family, their houses, their own self, the things. Got locked into that, and there's Christians like that too. I mean, man, they come in here, and when they go home, they go in, they close the doors of their house, and they're locked in, they're absorbed in their life, and there's no thought of like going out into all the world and spreading the gospel or sharing God's good news with anybody. It's just a self-centered, fearful, you know, it's a self-imposed prison in their own life is what a lot of Christians live, because they're not living the abundant life. You know, and that's not what's in God's heart for you. I can share that with you for sure. The abundant life is pointing people to God and on purpose. Last week I talked about fruit bearing, about barren fruit and how, you know, there's certain fruit that doesn't grow around here. And because the atmosphere is not right. And that, but we can, and so when you go to spiritual fruit, a lot of people don't bear spiritual fruit because the atmosphere is not right. And the atmosphere has to get right by being in the Word of God and being in the house of God and being filled with the Spirit of God and, you know, and around being around the people of God. That'll create the atmosphere to grow spiritual fruit, and that is the abundant life. That's the abundant life that God intended for us. And then the third thing is the influential life. You know, we do have an influence whether we want to have one or not. It could be bad. It could be good influence or a positive or negative influence. We understand that. The life of Christ shook the world up. Shook up the world. And the early Christians, it was said, the early Christians said they turned the world upside down. I mean, everything was turned upside down from what they taught. And let's face it here, spoke about our living. You know, whatever we do for a living, most of us are not going to impact the world in a great way. It's not going to impact the world in a great way. Either way, most of us, you know, that's it. I mean, I welded on nuclear power plant piping. I guess if I made a bad weld and we have a nuclear meltdown somewhere in the world, and they were for power plants all over the world, that'll impact the world, but it won't be a positive thing, right? It'll be a mistake. But through Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit, you know, we can impact the world for Christ. And it's an eternal impact. Individual lives, and then the lives that they impact. You know, think about this. If you ever heard of D.L. Moody, one of the great evangelists of the 20th century, I guess, somebody led that man to Christ. Billy Graham, we all familiar with him, somebody led him to Christ. Just one individual, but you don't know what that one individual is going to do. There might be somebody in a Sunday school class that you happen to teach that you don't know what God's going to do with them. You have an impact on that life. There's somebody out there that you might lead to Christ, and it's no telling what God could do with them. We've talked about people that we've witnessed to, and there's people with personalities, and you think, boy, if God ever got a hold of them, boy, He could really. And I mean, God could do something with anybody because God can put in us what needs to be put in there, but some people have some gifts already that God has given to them right there. And so, you know, you just don't know. You can live a life with purpose and the purpose to glorify God, we can live our life on a higher plane than what we most of the time live it on, something for God. You know, when I came along, I aimed real low. I was one of those people that were floating along there. Life was just happening to me. I was a junior probably or a senior in high school. I don't remember. I was probably a junior in high school. And I remember getting ready to be a junior. And some of these kids, man, they had it all sorted out. You know, one guy, I remember his daddy was a lawyer, and he was a big lawyer down Virginia Beach. And this boy said, man, I'm going to be a lawyer, man. I'm going to graduate high school, and I'm going to go to law school, and I'm going to be a lawyer. Guess what? He's a lawyer today. You can go down to Virginia Beach, and you can look his name up. Another boy I grew up with, his dad owned tons of land in Virginia Beach, well-to-do family. They were humble people, though. He was a humble boy. I was in elementary school, Boy Scouts with him and all that. He's an attorney, got a law office right near the high school. I every now and then I see his name on there when we've been down there visiting. I was tempted to go in there and see him. And they had some plans. I remember one girl in our school, she said she was going to work for NASA. Guess what? She works for NASA. I mean, she went to work for NASA, and I remember her, and I remember people, kids talking like that. I'm in high school, I'm thinking, I haven't given a thought what I'm going to be doing. I better come up with something. Oh, I aimed high. I'm going to go to vocational school, and I'm going to be an auto mechanic. And if you're an auto mechanic, you know, God bless you, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, my knuckles, you know, and all that. But I'm just thinking of all the things we could have aimed for. Probably could have shot down a David, you're a mechanic. I did that too, man. Went to work where David went. But I was just thinking of all the things. I mean, I was just scrapping for something, man. I mean, listen, if that's your heart, man, you love it, do it. Do what you love to do. I just was looking for something that I thought I could do that, you know, I got to have a plan here, and I don't have one, and everybody else has got one, and I'm getting left behind. I'm going to go to vocational school, and, you know, and that's the feel. I went in that direction. I didn't do nothing with it either, but with that. But I'm thinking I wasn't aiming any higher. I would have fell over dead if somebody had said, hey, you're going to be a pastor of a church. You're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, man. You're going to be marrying people, burying people, man. And you're going to lead a lot of people to Christ. It was on the list. My list was right under rocket scientist is what I thought I was. You know, the list of what I thought I would be, rocket scientist was down here. And being a pastor would have probably been under that. I never thought that there would be anything like, that's what I'm going to do with my life. Now when I look I don't think I can do anything else. I mean, there's things I can do, but it wouldn't be my heart. My heart's desire to do it, you know. Man, I didn't dream. Of course, I wasn't saved. Didn't pray about it. God might have led me a lot sooner than he did. But you know what? I was just letting life happen. However, whatever little niche cranny I got pushed into, that's where I live. I wasn't making life happen. I didn't, you know, I like I said, and I'm going to tell you what, I still feel like I should have done more and could do more. I still feel that way, even with what God has called me to do. But listen, we can, through Jesus Christ, live a powerful life. This could have been a point, but it's not. We can live a powerful life. I mean, something that impacts somebody else in a positive way. You know, really, really, you know, and a lot of us can think back over some people that might have really impacted our life in a positive way. I can think back some impact in a negative way, but some in a positive way. Man, that's what's in the heart of God for us. And then this other point, the fourth thing, the victorious life right there. A recent Christian survey about what Christians struggle with, and they had it in order. I think it's out of order a little bit. Materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness. Tied for fifth were anger, bitterness, and sexual lust. I'm surprised that's low as it was. Envy, gluttony, and lying. They all might be really close together in things you struggle. Now, you know, that's the old nature. We understand it. You know, does that mean I shouldn't be struggling? No, you probably do. You're probably struggling with all of the above or something of the above or most of the above there. We understand that. But I'm going to tell you what. Too many Christians have believed the lie from Satan, that we can't get the victory over those things right there. Too many people just believe. And so what happens is we believe the lie, so we end up putting up little, if any, fight against it. You know, when we don't, and we're believing that there's nothing we can do about that. But I'm going to tell you something. In 1 John 5:4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It says it's a definite word there that we have overcome the world. The verse means that we're, you know, when we're completely surrendered to Christ, by the way, that's what takes place, that we overcome the world, crucified with Him in death, resurrected in life. And the life we now live in Christ is and Christ living in us, then we do overcome the world. It didn't say can or will, it just says has. See, the more that we love Christ, the more our faith is perfected too. This is the life. This is what's in God's heart. God, it's not in God's heart for us to walk around down in the dumps defeated. And I'm not going to say there's not going to be some low points in our life, but not all the time. It's in God's heart that we walk in newness of life, that we have the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. That we live the abundant life, that we live the surrendered life. I mean, man, you could go on and on and on. There's lots of, that we live a surrendered life to Him, the resurrected life that we live in that, also the crucified life that goes along with that. This is in God's will. And I mean, and it's not a burden. Another one of the lies of the devil is, oh man, if you get to be a Christian, boy, you're going to have a dull life, a drag, it's going to be a drag, and it's going to be so much work, you know, just trying to obey all the rules and this, and no, that's not what it's all. So, man, I don't have to worry about no stinking rules because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in my heart and He's going to lead me right. He's going to lead me to the right thing, the right place, to say the right thing, do the right thing. He's going to lead me there. That's freedom. That is freedom. Let me ask you, think about the question I asked at the beginning. I'm almost done here. What do you think is in God's heart concerning you? I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that if you're not saved, God so loved the world. God's not willing that any should perish, is what He said. He's not willing. God's will that you get saved. Well, I'm not sure if I'm not saved. Let me ask you something then. Like I said, do you have a living, personal, daily relationship with Jesus Christ that impacts your life every day? That's how you know if you're saved. This gospel right here, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life, impacts your life positively every day. Positively every day. What do you think is in God's heart concerning you? What do you think your potential would be if God had all of your life? Let's all stand.